And welcome to the program on this Tuesday. It is 107.37 right now, and temperatures outside are looking very nice in the upper 70s here in Fargo, although a little cloud cover around the area. All in all, not too bad of an afternoon so far, but it all goes downhill.
Well,
very, very soon, as winter is just around the corner.
Some would call it getting better because we need the rain.
Well, I wasn't talking about rain. I was talking about snow.
There's snow in the forecast?
At some point, there's going to be, Dean, and it's just around the corner. We all know what month is next, fall. And what happens at the end of fall? Usually it snows and it turns to winter.
Maybe this year will be different.
So maybe this year will be different. Dean, are you here to tell me that the LRC says that winter is skipping us?
I never said that. Why are you putting words in my mouth, Mr. Storm? Boy, he gets back into the office. The first day back in about 2 weeks.
Don't even listen.
Man.
I asked you a question. I didn't.
I know. I'm like a politician. I'm avoiding it.
Holy moly. You could have just said no.
Nah. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing this morning?
Thanks for letting me join.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You're welcome, Bridget. It's your show. We're just here filling up time.
No. Not even close,
come on,
guys.
Let's be real here. Let's be real.
Look, as long as you guys keep talking, that's fine, because then I can finish my dessert.
Oh,
there you go. Dean, talk about the weather. What's it going to do?
Yeah, we've got partly cloudy skies this afternoon, and it is a little breezier than yesterday. That's pretty much the only difference. A few more clouds today as well. Highs today should reach a lower 80s, so a few more degrees up from where we're at right now with those southeast winds 10 to 20. Clouds sticking up tonight. We'll have showers and storms developing out in the central part of the state. And we should stay dry here in the valley until morning. Lows in the mid-60s. And then as we head into Wednesday, scattered showers and storms in the morning. They'll become a little more widespread as we head towards evening with highs only in the mid-70s. Showers and storms continue Wednesday night into early Thursday with highs remaining in the 70s. And then we'll dry things out Friday, Saturday, Sunday with highs in the low 80s. So not bad. Half inch to an inch, a pretty good bet around much of the area. So let's hope it's closer to that inch mark. That little bit of rain we had last week and a little bit, it just didn't really help much. So I think an inch would satisfy most of us.
Would help.
We need more than an inch.
Inch isn't good enough for you?
No.
No?
No, we need way more than an inch.
Do we need more than an inch, Bridget?
I would like to start there because if I ask for too much, we usually Mother Nature overcompensates.
Yep. That's usually how it happens. So what about some localized areas maybe seeing like 4 inches? Is that a possibility?
Highly unlikely.
Oh. So you're telling me I probably won't get 4 inches, Dean?
You will not get 4 inches.
My yard and garden could really benefit from 4 inches.
That might be a little much.
What about like 3? Is that
there could be okay, some wait. Spots local if it's a localized storm that parks over the area, might get 3.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Very slight.
Heavy rainfall like that, if it comes slowly over an extended period of time, would be just fine.
I'm all right with that as well. Either get it all at once or a little bit over a long time.
There's certainly a way for us to find middle ground on this.
All right, cool. So we got all sorts of fun stuff going on. Got to check on that forecast coming up again. If you're just joining us, we'll touch on that forecast a couple times during the course of the show. No guests today. Our guest backed out, or we had a scheduling conflict. I don't know. Something happened.
Was unable to attend. How's
there
that sound?
Go. They bailed on us.
Yes.
Not going to say who it was. No. They know who.
Nope,
they know.
They're fine. Sometimes things happen. Once in a while, even one of us can't get here now, can we?
This is true. Sometimes that does happen from time to time. Usually it's Dean. Dip out, you know, you schedule a doctor's appointment at like 1:15 or a golf trip at 1:45.
That's called smart scheduling.
That's something. It's smart something.
Goodness. So, hey, speaking of smart, well, our Here We Grow project is pretty smart right now. Our corn looks good. I was in the field last week. Justin and I were out there back in July, and we have some previews coming up where we're going to have those new videos showing up this week and next, so you get a chance to see how our corn's been progressing. So I hope everyone is making sure to follow along on Facebook and YouTube so they see how Here We Grow 2024 is moving towards harvest.
I would say it's going pretty good. And we have what our last episode came up just a couple days ago. Our new one's coming out tomorrow. We'll touch on that here in a little bit. We still got a couple things behind the scenes we're trying to sort out, and we'll touch on what tomorrow's episode will be.
I got a little update for you. So if you remember Friday, Angie Johnson with NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist, she was on with us, and Angie, we had a caller, and our caller was Oscar. Oscar brought up that in North Dakota, you can drive farm equipment on the interstate. And there's a little bit of a discussion as to whether or not that was legal or not. Well, Angie went and did some research for it. And she said, according to the Highway Patrol, implements of husbandry, so farm equipment, can travel on any roadway, including the interstate, from only sunrise to sunset. Let's not be heading out there in the dark. And if you're going to do that, you need to have a slow-moving vehicle sign on the equipment or use flashing lights. Now, it's neither Angie or I would recommend that, because even in road gear, you're probably at only 20 miles an hour on some of that equipment with people going by you at 80.
Oh, come on. Let's be real. They're doing 90.
Okay, fine. If you need to do it, certainly with great caution. But that is actually just a little correction from our discussion that we were having on Friday with Angie and when Oscar called in.
Indeed, indeed. And if you ever want to be a part of our conversation, add a couple of tidbits or your two cents, your thoughts, your questions, your topics, call us 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Line. Or you can always reach us via email as well. That's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. We also have live chat boxes there available on Facebook and YouTube Live, where we live stream each and every single day. You can also find us over there on Acres TV. Hey, look at that. We're getting a phone call. What are the odds?
All I had is it Oscar?
All I had to do was ask. I don't know. Let's find out. Hi, caller. What's your name?
Okay.
Yeah, it's Greg. And I was going to ask Bridget there, what's the most crops of rhubarb that she's had in one growing season? Grandma, during a real nice spring, summer, and fall, Grandma had four one time. And we had rhubarb sauce, rhubarb jelly.
Well,
rhubarb, everything.
Okay.
It was great.
When you say a crop, Grandma must have cut it completely all the way down and had that plant come back, because I've never actually removed all of my stalks and had it come back within a season. So I don't know if I call it a certain number of crops or just the fact that I use it continuously throughout the summer. Huh. Yeah, there are some folks that say you should not cut your rhubarb in later summer, so like July, August, that you should let it go so it gets ready for next year. Frankly, my rhubarb is kind of big and sort of out of hand, so I just continue to use it as I see fit, but I don't ever remove it entirely.
Cool. Interesting. Thanks for the comment and the question there, Greg. Appreciate you listening calling in. And I've never really grown rhubarb. I've never done anything with rhubarb. I've had rhubarb jam before. I've had rhubarb beer before, and in fact that was actually really good. However, I'd never really done anything with rhubarb.
Twitter page will tell you that I am a rhubarb advocate. I'm a big fan. It started when reading the Little House on the Prairie series, because in there they refer to it as pie plant.
Really?
They didn't call it rhubarb at the
pie
time
plant.
Because that's what they used it for, was
rhubarb
pies.
Pie. Yeah.
If you are looking for recipes or ideas, I have lots. I'm a big rhubarb fan, and my latest favorite thing is a rhubarb vanilla jelly, and I wasn't disappointed when it didn't completely gel and it just became rhubarb vanilla sauce to pour over your ice cream.
Hmm. Very cool. Hey, how's your garden doing? You got any? I've been getting the emails that you've been pumping the break room full of produce.
Yes. For those of you who did not get your fair share of zucchini, let me know. I can help. But overall, I'm still waiting for red tomatoes. I think you're way ahead of me in that game.
Mine are still green, but my plants are about 6.5 feet tall, so they're cruising.
They're monsters here.
I got a couple. So I got a couple of really fun varieties this year, and one of them grows like I've never seen a tomato grow before. You know how tomato leaves are, you know, they're pretty sporadic and jagged and whatnot. You know, obviously you can tell that it's a tomato. This one grows like broadleaves, like on a tree. It's really weird. And it's I don't even know how to describe it. It's called a better brandy tomato. And I'm really excited for when they turn red because they look like an heirloom.
You just bought it because it had brandy in it.
Well, I read the description, maybe. And they're very, very disease resistant.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they're bred with a better boy and a brandy something. I don't know. It's
brandy wine, maybe.
Heirloom variety. They look cool, but they're massive. I mean, if you're watching the live stream right here, I mean, some of these tomatoes I have grow up to be over 5 or 6 pounds.
Yeah, so when you have that better boy, that's a really big tomato. It's a meaty tomato. It has a fair amount of water content. The brandy wine, I'm not sure, but I think it's probably similar. And I don't always buy better boys because I look at Roma's as a better canning tomato because I want less water content and more tomato flavor, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're supposed to be
I don't
meaty.
Know all the technical terms.
Most of my tomatoes are meatier versus like a, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, for soup tomatoes or whatever. But yeah, I'm excited, but they're all green, but they're getting big. I got my big old beef steaks going. I got one that's almost the size of Dean's head.
That big?
It's probably half the size of your head. I'd say it's easily like a forehead size.
Wow.
Like if you were to go and it's, I mean, it's, it probably weighs 4 pounds, I bet. It's
nice.
Massive. Anyway, coming up on the program today, we got to hit the Ag Network here, but we got a few ag topics we're going to get to. We touched on our Here We Grow project. We'll do that again. Also, University of Minnesota is hosting a farm transition class. We'll also touch a little bit about heat stress during vegetative stages in the crops. Mm-hmm. And I have an update from a buddy of mine who was pulling wheat over the weekend. Had some very impressive numbers.
We're combining away. So
we'll touch on all that. And if you want to touch on how your harvest is doing, 701-293-9000. We also got the dumb off coming off in the next hour. And another check on the forecast. So all sorts of fun things. Stay tuned. We hope you stay with us to hear it all.
Focus, thank you for joining us. Oh, and don't forget to really join us tomorrow. Teacher Appreciation Lunch at our studios. We'll all be there. Mm-hmm. Swing on by. Have lunch from the food trucks. Join us for bouncy house games for kids, prizes, and a whole lot more. So swing on in from 11 to 2 here at the studios. And we really want to say a big thank you to NDSCS, Meats by John and Wayne, Prosperity Health Pharmacy, MSUM, Glass Doctor Otto, Welton's Tire Service, Games to Go, ND Estate Services, and Capstone Classical Academy. All of those folks are helping bring free lunch to you as teachers or school staff members. So swing on in tomorrow, 11 to 2. What kind of food trucks, you guys? Do you know? What are we having?
The ones that make food and hand it to you when you give them some form of currency.
It's free.
Well, for the teachers, it's free. It's not free for us.
Free. Yeah, for us.
For us, we have to pay for it, Dean.
I better get some cash.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, we have an internship program here, and I teach college students how to forecast and do operational meteorology. Technically, I am a teacher. And I also have 3 years of college teaching experience. So therefore, I am a teacher with 6 years of teaching experience.
I have my teaching degree in ag education. So technically, I'm a teacher too.
Dean, step it up. What do you
teach? I have a BS degree. I can teach you a lot.
In science?
Some would call it a different name, but yeah.
Yeah. What would other people call it?
You can figure it out there.
Hey, you know, and maybe a couple of other of our favorite people are going to join us tomorrow. And there are folks that are part of our Here We Grow project. That would be the Steffes Group. So to them, they are a local auctioneer. If you are looking to buy land, equipment, or maybe you have something you want to sell, give Steffes Group a call. Check them out on their website. They would be happy to work with you to make sure that the best deal is done either direction, buyer or seller. And I always think that it's handy that we have the same two sponsors on the same day, mm-hmm. Steffes Group and Dakota Bank, because you need one for the other. And so if you're interested in going to an auction and maybe you overdid it, you might want to talk to those guys over at Dakota Bank. They are one of the largest ag lending institutions in the region, and they are based out of Aberdeen, South Dakota, with an office right here in Fargo. So see the folks at Dakota Bank. Happy to have you come in the door, I bet. It'd be great.
Indeed, and indeed. What do you guys want to do here? We got a couple of bits we got to hit. Do you want to? Why don't we get one of the ag topics out of the way, since we usually run out of time for that? And let's hit on the
sure.
heat stress during vegetative stages in the crop. Now, I don't believe we really had a whole lot of heat to deal with here, except for 10 days of it. And I mean, it was hot, but it wasn't like it was 100 degrees.
June, if you look at the month of June, and that was mainly across much of the Midwestern area, we saw a high number of days. And the problem is when you see that high heat during the wrong time, right? If particular vegetative states, that can cause an issue. We think that at least here, and as well as for our Here We Grow project, we probably are in the clear that we did not see a lot of yield damage done at that point in time. We had plenty of moisture. So yield potential prior to silking is determined by two components, and that would be plants per acre and total potential kernels per plant. It's a little bit soon to be judging what we thought the yield potential was going to be back in June. And even right now, when I was in the field last week, I don't think the cobs are going to fill entirely all the way to the end. So there'll be some kernels that won't come to maturity. So that'll change our yield slightly as well. But overall, we look really good at this point. Why?
Why
would we not
fill? Why do we think that, and why would you get that?
If you don't fill all the way to the end of the cob, and please, for listeners who want to correct me, 701-293-9000. But if you run out of moisture, if you have an early frost, you wouldn't have all of those kernels that make it to complete maturity by the end of the season.
Oh, okay. I think overall we're good.
Let's see how much rain we get tomorrow, because we would take some rain right now for that field. I think we'd be happy.
A good inch.
Now, you mentioned harvest, Justin.
I did.
And so I've heard some harvest totals as well. What was happening for your friend? Aren't they over in Minnesota somewhere?
They're up in Minnesota somewhere up there over east of Reynolds. Where are they over?
Reynolds, North Dakota.
Yeah, they're up there over in Minnesota, just over by Fisher, I'm pretty sure, Crookston area or whatnot. They were pulling 110 on wheat, 110 bushels an acre.
Winter wheat or spring wheat?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that's winter wheat.
The one they're harvesting right now.
and it could be both, but I'm going to guess it's winter wheat.
The yellow stuff.
Were you given any proteins? Because protein counts in this game.
I'd have to ask. I just asked what they were pulling. Okay. He said 110. And I'm like, well, I think 80 is normal, or 60. Is 80 normal?
You can get 80. That's not a problem. It depends where you're at in the state. As we move further across the state to the west, you're probably getting more of a, anywhere from a 40 to a 60 bushel average, depending on your county. I just got a text message report from South Dakota. They were getting 80 to 100 bushels. They were seeing protein at 13 to 14%, and that was on winter wheat as well. So I think your fellow up there was probably on winter wheat.
If I remember right, I think I saw something with like a 13 or a 13.5, if that's
protein. Yep, that would make sense for protein.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. So that's probably what that was then. So all in all, I mean, he's doing pretty good on his wheat.
I think so. Some years, if the millers need a higher protein wheat or lower protein wheat, they'll pay premiums on it. I haven't heard anybody worried about a premium on their wheat this year. They're just hoping for average proteins, because once you get too high or too low, sometimes you wind up having to blend off your wheats in order to get what you need out of it.
So you can have too much protein in the wheat, you're telling me?
You can. Yep. Why, if your wheat gets stressed pretty heavily.
Why does that matter? What's the significance of the protein content?
Changes its milling qualities when it's going into the millers.
All right. So it doesn't become good flour? It becomes like coarse flour, or if there's too much
protein? I think it has to do with its baking qualities. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure someone out there is listening can do this better than I can. But off the top of my head, I believe that depending on your protein, it can affect like the elasticity in your wheat. So you don't have as good baking quality. So your bread doesn't turn out very well, or your pastas, et cetera. That's my guess without doing a whole lot of research right off the top of my head.
Dean, trivia. What is that? The stretchy stuff in the flour and baked goods. If you overwork it, your stuff will get very chewy.
What does that mean?
What is it? Come on, do this trivia.
Gum.
Gum. Is gum the final answer? I don't think it is.
I don't think so. But you
think you're stretching the gluten. Is that what it is?
Yep, you're stretching the gluten. But you can, when you take just take wheat kernels at the right stage and you can chew a mouthful, they'll make a gum as well.
See, when you make your pancakes, Dean, and you're really whipping that and everyone else stops and you keep on going for like another like 3 minutes, this is why your pancakes suck.
I can never make good pancakes. That's probably why.
This is why.
My scrambled eggs are
Your scrambled for. Eggs are phenomenal.
They are.
They're very scrambled.
Well, the trick is you put a little bit of water in it along with the milk. That's the trick. Oh, what, are we turning into Food Network
now? We got trivia coming up next. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 136 and temperatures outside, sitting at a cozy 81 degrees with a south wind at 13 miles an hour. It looks like there's a few clouds in the sky. Call it partly cloudy or partly sunny. Dean,
that's partly sunny.
Partly sunny.
There's a big difference.
There you go. Can you give me a numerical value on the difference between partly cloudy and partly sunny? 70%
is partly sunny.
70% what?
Cloud cover.
Cloud cover. Yeah. Okay. So 30% of the sky is sun?
How do we judge that?
Yeah, it's, you just look.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like most of the sky.
The sky here is about 70% covered in clouds.
Wait, and, but like over there looks like... I don't 85.
That's mostly cloudy.
That's mostly cloudy. Yeah. When would you just call it cloudy?
When it's boy. Wow. Maybe that should have been one of the trivia questions.
That's a good trivia question right there, and that's going to lead into our whole dumb off. Who's going to have the biggest smart today? Haven't done it the last couple days. Someone's been sick and hasn't sent anything over to you guys. You've been missing the dumb off.
Not really.
Uh-huh.
Not really. Bridget has. Dean, no?
No.
Dean, I'm all for trivia. Look, I am a wealth of useless knowledge.
You are.
To work.
I know.
And Dean's just useless.
How's the unemployment line? Short or long?
2.8%.
It's about to get higher.
It's about to be 2.9?
It's about to be 2.9.
All right. Here's what the dumb off is.
It is time to determine who has the biggest smart in the dumb off. Here are the rules. Dean, Justin, Bridget, and Addison will play on the listener's behalf. They will go through two or three rounds of the most grueling trivia questions on the planet. Whoever has the most points at the end will be awarded the big smart. The contestant they're playing for will win a prize, and all contestants will be entered into a drawing for the grand prize.
Oh, this ought to be good. This will either be the greatest or dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Not really, yeah.
There we go.
All right.
So that's what it's going to do. Addison's not going to be playing today, but Addison will be our judge, and he will be asking us the questions. First person to shoot out the correct answer will get a point for the listener they're playing for, and if none of us can get it right or have an answer, we'll just move on to a different question. Dean, you're playing for John. I'm playing for Margaret.
Wait,
Bridget.
Which John? The John that always calls in?
Unfortunately.
All right, I'm going to purposely miss this.
And Bridget, you're playing for Shelly today, so good luck on the listener's behalf today. We'll see what we can do to get you entered into that grand prize, which has not been disclosed yet. So it's up to your imagination for what it possibly could be.
All right, I've done a lot of looking over all the trivia questions.
Are there any bangers in there today?
Yes, and we're starting off with one. This right will really test your smart, so whoever gets this right truly has the biggest brain out of all of you. How many sides does a triangle have?
Three.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Four. Sometimes.
you know.
Badly drawn triangles.
One that Bentley might have drawn.
All righty. What else we got?
Come on, step it up a little harder than that.
Wow, dude, that was a good banger. You gotta ease into
you
gotta, it.
You really gotta ease into it.
You just don't run a mile. Jeez. You warm up with a quick speed walk, and then you go.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why you have knee and back problems. You need to stretch before you work out, dude.
I guess I do.
Okay, question number two. Which countries make up the United Kingdom?
Which countries?
England.
Yes.
England, Scotland, and Ireland. And Wales.
Yeah.
Well, why is there a question mark at the end of that?
Just Ireland? Any specific
Scotland?
Part?
Northern Ireland.
I said Ireland.
Northern Ireland. Yep.
We'll give it to Bridget. She got most of it right.
All right. And then let me see. What do we got here?
Because isn't half of Ireland angry? But I don't remember which
half
one.
Of Ireland.
Well, that's most
drunk.
Countries, to be fair.
No, half of them are drunk.
Okay. So is Germany. Russia's pretty drunk, too.
They like their vodka.
They do like their vodka.
Who doesn't, though?
Tito's.
Okay. What is a supernova?
That's when a star explodes after it collapses on itself.
Yes.
Actually, it was this car in the 70s, and it had the souped-up engine. It's like when all they had to do was bore it out a little bit further, and boom, that was a supernova.
I give that to Bridget, too.
Justin's too young for that, Bridget. That's awesome.
Yeah, but Addison, let me have it.
You're the judge.
I'll give that. That was
you're giving it to Bridget?
The correct right. answer, yes.
That was the correct answer. All right, round two.
Okay, who gave the United States of America the Statue of Liberty?
France.
Dean.
Yep.
Job.
Got that right.
Dean.
Very good.
It's the only good thing they gave us, wasn't it?
French fries.
They gave us
French
fries. Yeah, I was going to say French fries.
What about the French ladies?
Right. Champagne.
Oui, oui.
Ah. Good time. Okay. What colors mix to make green?
Red and orange.
Oh, red and blue. Oh, no, yellow and blue.
Yellow yeah. and orange.
Wait,
yellow and
darn it, Dean.
I've never heard someone be so confidently incorrect before.
No, he said
yellow
red
and blue make green.
He said orange and red.
What?
Yellow and blue make
does.
Did.
You said you're
he
like
said orange
red
and blue.
Orange. Or something yep. like that.
It's yellow and blue.
It's yellow and blue.
Yeah, yellow and blue make
it's
green.
It's yellow and blue.
Which Justin got that.
So if you're an SDSU fan, that blue and yellow just made green for the Bison.
What?
I've never heard somebody so confidently wrong before.
Yeah, wow. Well, this is a weather guy.
It's going to rain.
It's very good.
No.
Okay.
It's going to rain.
Where's my rain, Dean?
That's right.
Who is the lead singer of the band Queen?
Freddie Mercury.
All were correct, but Justin said it first.
Oh.
There you go.
All right, after two rounds, Dean, you have 1 point. I have three, and Bridget, you have two. Let's go another round, number three.
Got it. This is for the gold, people.
It's for the gold. So everyone, be more confidently correct. Why is honey a What is that word?
Confectionery? Justin, you wrote these up.
Yeah. You can skip it.
Yeah, we're going to skip that. I don't even know if that's a word.
Actually, ChatGDP wrote it.
Oh.
Do you ever proofread?
What's proofreading?
Exactly.
In what year did Christopher Columbus first reach
1892.
The Americas?
Or no, 1492. That would have been a little late.
Bridget got it.
Bridget.
1492. I mean, and Dean 1492. Had it in
spirit. I had the 92 so part. Confidently had it wrong again. 1842.
Again. That's a little new. That's a little
too soon.
A little after his time. All right. What is the largest...
Columbus.
Yeah.
Columbus would have been here when my grandma and grandpa got here, for God's sakes. <at that rate. laughs>
What is the largest ocean on Earth?
The Pacific.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
We got one more on round three.
Gulf
and then
of Mexico.
We've got a nice easy one to end. A pickle is made from which fruit or vegetable?
Cucumber.
Cucumbers.
You got it right.
There we go.
This also says from which fruit or vegetable. Is it a fruit or is it a vegetable?
It's a fruit because it comes from a flower and it has seeds. What?
Pickle is fruit, confirmed.
Pickle's a fruit.
Okay. But it goes in a jar with vinegar and it makes a pickle. And I have jars of them at my house because I have this awesome recipe where you make pickles in the microwave and I am that good.
You heard it here first, folks. If the pirates had eaten more pickles, they would have had less scurvy.
Indeed, they would have. All right, guys, you want to do one more or we wrap it up?
No, one more.
One more round
before we go. Okay. We're having this much fun.
Yeah, we're having a good time today.
All right. This is what I get for not marking off questions as I do them. What percentage of the human body is made up of water?
72.
97.
Oh. What are you, a slug?
75.
No. No one.
What was it?
60%.
That's it?
So. What did Bridget say, 90?
She said like 90-something. 97. She's a Namekian.
Hey, look. Some of us drink more than others.
Do what well, you have to Long guess. Island iced tea doesn't count.
Yeah.
How's that keyboard?
Going well. I just spit all over it. Goodness.
All right, who got that? No one got the point?
No one
all right,
got that
we'll
one,
ask right. another one then.
No one all got right. that point.
What is the largest desert in the world?
Sahara.
Mojave.
I was...
Think.
So neither of them got that right?
Well,
I'm just saying to think. Just think carefully about your answer.
Yeah. I was gonna say Sahara, but he already said it, so...
Texas. I had Mojave.
Would anyone like to take a second guess?
I guess we should.
I'm gonna stick with the Sahara.
Yeah, I had no clue. I mean, Sahara, Mojave.
Well, the almighty...
Oh, no, I've got it. Antarctica.
Oh, it's Antarctica.
Yes.
Wow.
That's considered a desert.
You got it.
Thank you.
So, wow. Here we go.
All right.
What?
Okay.
Okay. What is... This is printed oddly on the sheet. What is the capital of Brazil?
Is it Rio?
Wait, you hiccuped there. What is
Rio de Janeiro?
Bridget, get it in quick. What is it?
Capital of...
The
Brazil.
Capital of Brazil.
It's not Rio.
Sao Paulo.
No.
It's a Brazilia.
Oh,
San Pablo. San Pablo?
Justin got it.
What was it?
Brazilia.
Oh, it is Brazilia.
You've never
yes,
seen
that's
the...
Right.
The
place I've never heard of.
What is it? It's the Miss USA pageant, and the Brazil girl goes on there, and she goes, Brazilia! No, it was a very big meme back in the day, but you're older. I get it.
Right.
That's cool.
Sorry. Let me get my cane on my way out the door.
Yeah, it's all right. I think that'll wrap it up for trivia today, though. Dean, you played for John. You got him 3 points.
I got more than three. I had four, didn't I?
No. Orange and red didn't make green.
No,
I was so excited to give that answer too. So enthusiastic.
That just makes a darker shade of orange. Bridget, you played for Shelly. You got Shelly 3 points. I played for Margaret. Margaret, I got you 5. We'll send you an email on what you're winning. Get you everybody else.
I thought I got 4. I mean, I still didn't win, but I thought I got 4.
Maybe
so
4. Well, we'll give you 4.
I still didn't win.
We'll give you 4.
I still didn't win.
Arr, matey.
Sorry, Shelly.
All right. Well, we'll have more Dumb Off coming off in the week ahead. We got to hit a commercial break here when we come back. We got another check on that forecast as well as one or two more ag topics. And if you want to sneak into the program quick, 701-293-9000. Call right now. And welcome back to the program, 152.05. Right now, we'll run down that forecast coming up here in just a second. But if you got a question you'd like to get that asked, 701-293-9000. We'll touch on another ag topic as well. We'll be hitting a little bit about farm transition class at the University of Minnesota. Bridget, what's going on with that?
All right. Well, we just had Mark with us, ND Estate Services, on yesterday, Mark Wagner, and he really emphasized this for us. But maybe you're not ready to give Mark that phone call yet and get ready to talk about what you need to do for your farm, your estate planning, your will, etc. University of Minnesota can help you out. It starts tomorrow from 10 to noon, so you can go and do this before you come to have free lunch with us as a teacher here at the studios. And they're going to have a 4-week period or 4-part over 4-week time frame.
Yes.
Searching for words. That they'll do these sessions and they're going to talk about how to assemble your team. Who do you need to have? Taxes, gifting, selling, transferring, what you should have for wills and trusts. And then when you want to put it all together, whether it's estate, retail, healthcare, and business transfers. So if you're not ready to talk to somebody like Mark, but you want to sit in on these webinars, which are free, and pick up a few ideas, you certainly can. Feel free to email me, ag@flagfamily.com. I'll send you the link to get you signed up so you can attend. And it's worth your time. As we talked about, not enough of these decisions are ready to go and can't wait until the last minute. We got to get these things done, folks. It's going to be important.
Indeed, indeed. Addison, were we ever able to get that video issue resolved with the audio?
Okay, don't think we're there yet.
We'll okay. be there in a second. So why don't
we?
So
trying to bleep out all the F bombs that you guys had in there?
No. There weren't any. No,
none of that.
No, we
were Dean, good.
We are professional adults.
We were listening to this in the office, and half of the stuff was beep, beep, beep. Was there something backing up?
Oh. Dean, that was a
dump
that
was
truck.
By pickup.
see,
did you not hear the? The truck?
No.
Or the guy yelling clear?
No, didn't hear that part.
The rocks dumping out of it?
No.
So maybe what if you would like to think ahead, especially if you're in South Dakota and you want to gain some leadership skills, watch what's happening in industry, visit with more experts, and really connect with other folks in the livestock industry. Well, the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association has a leadership academy. This academy is going to be one that you apply for. There is the opportunity for you to be a part of a whole year's process where you get to go to seminars, both in-state and out-of-state. You have the opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, to spend time with the industry experts and really connect with other professionals within the group. If you have an idea that maybe this is something you want to explore further, why don't you drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com. I'll find you the link for the South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy. Love to see you there. A sneak peek. I think I get to help do some of the presentations on it. So that's part of the fun for me.
Yeah, right on. That sounds super cool, Bridget. When was that again?
It's a lot of fun. It's a whole year-long situation that you would be a part of, this academy, and you can do your applications now. They're going to be due September 1st. You do have to be 21 years old before you can sign up.
Cool. Right on. Well, we were able to get our video tech thing figured out here. Yay! So without further ado, this is going to be our latest Here We Grow video, which will be coming out tomorrow on our Facebook and YouTube. Just search Weather and Ag in Focus. We're documenting the whole process, what it takes to go from seed to harvesting corn with the 20 acres of corn that we're growing. Last week's episode was with Farm Rescue. The video's doing great online right now if you haven't had a chance to check it out. Dean, Bridget, you guys did a great job with that episode, and it's really pumping out there. But without further ado, here's our latest episode coming out tomorrow, at least the tease. So do we have any cobs on here? I mean, could we find where the little one is right now?
Oh, yeah, that's some good old six-footer right there.
Not completely yet. We could cut apart a stack here and look down it. There's the beginning of that little ear right there. You know, this is where this corn's at now. Obviously, this corn's from last year in the fall, but within another 60 days, we're going to see more full ears like this.
Yeah, here we go.
You can see it is microscopic.
You know, yeah, they're just tiny little knots.
Tiny right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. You can see the little tiny kernels on there.
Yep.
And that's going to go from that to this.
Yep.
In just a couple months.
Yep.
Marco! Where's Polo? I swear to God, if you left me out here again, I'm going to be really mad. Swear to God, if there's f***ing spiders, I'm going to be a happy camper.
I can confirm there were a couple of spiders that were located out in that field. I can also confirm that I was not a happy camper at all.
So you
should
sorry,
have seen
pal.
The size of this thing.
Big old corn spider. You should have brought it back for Jay.
I almost set the whole field on fire, but Bridget stopped me.
Yes, and you did hear me laughing hysterically in the background. Like, is this a spider?
Yeah, a spider the size of your head.
Sorry.
Wait till those East Coast spiders start flying in on their webs and they start landing on the corn. Those things are the size of beach balls, dude.
Lord.
They're okay. They'll never last the winter. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you say that now. The hogs weren't expected to last winter either, and now they're super hogs. Now we're going to have super spiders.
I can't wait until you talk about this with science teachers tomorrow at our teacher appreciation. Don't forget to join us 11 to 2 right there in the parking lot of the studios.
We'll get to share all of our big smarts with the teacher, and we'll see if we can con ourselves into a free meal. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Coming up next is The Jay Thomas Show. Everyone else, have a great rest of your day.